listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, everyone. Let me continue from my opening salvo on the last hour. And let me read from one of my books just a little bit, just to set the program up so that it comes out the way I'd like it to be. People are calling, the lines are beginning to fill up, 800-866-8883. I was saying, and the book I'm reading from, I'm only going to take a small passage and then I'm going to take my calls. But I like to promote this book. It's called Understanding Sexuality. It's more than 300 pages. All I have to do is open it any page and read, like I'm doing right now, for example. There's not hardly a single person who does not have a crippling problem due to emotion. The entire human race is made up of emotional cripples who are confused, irrational, or downright cruel, rich or poor, and of whatever ethnic background a child comes into the world is always preceded by tyrants. Let's call them victim sinners because they can't help but being a victim, and they can't help doing to others what was done to them. And they can't help but playing the other role if they can't. See, there's only two roles that the victim can play. You can't play it. As long as you live, no matter how bright and smart you are, as much as you can hide it, it's eating you away. You're a bully. You're powerful, and you get other people to do what you want, and you get power from that. And you don't know how to stop. Once you start doing, you get more and more successful, but you're getting more and more broken. There's something wrong with you feeding and enjoying the pleasure of people's subservience. You see what happens to tyrants. There's no depth to which they won't sink to keep feeding the monster inside them. And so you may not get the chance to do what Saddam Hussein did, or Hitler, or Stalin. But they would kill millions of people. Stalin himself would take pleasure just having less, 10,000 people a day, just to have a list. Any toys with that, as if it was, that's all it was, and the people carried that out. There's no depth which a person won't sink, and you can see it. You may not sink there, but you can get pretty low. And so every person is a bully. Every person who's a bully is also a coward before they're bully, because you can't be a bully. You weren't born a bully. It came through somebody. And that person was bullied. But then the only alternative to being a bully is to serve the bully, to make peace with the bully. And that's what you see people doing now. You do it in your home, you do it as a nation. England did it. And look what happened. Hitler was the bully. But he didn't have anything. He didn't have an army when he first started yelling and screaming. But he was very effective, getting crowds, smashing windows, and rising to power. And he hadn't yet had an army. And England was trembling because it just came from the First World War. They don't want another one. But the appeasing gave him the power. And they elected an appeasing prime minister called Chamberlain. He championed that. We were ready to give our guns. We gave our guns away. We were ready to sink our battleships to show our goodwill to Hitler. He's laughing up his sleeve. Don't you understand that you can have it can happen to you, and you've got an appeaser in your office, but it's not the usual appeaser. And I don't want to talk politics. But you see, it's a dark pall hanging over this country. It's dark. The atmosphere is dangerous. And the only thing anyone can do is help you to become a better person, and a better father, and a better mother, and return the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children's heart to the fathers, as I smite thee with a curse, it says in the very last chapter of the Old Testament. All right. This is the second hour of Advice Line. It took a little while to get it going, but I do advise you to get this book, Understanding Sexuality. It's a very thick book and you can turn to any page and find yourself there. And you go, oh my God. And that's what I hope you say. All right. How many seconds we got left before the break? I'm talking to my producer. 20 seconds. Well, I can hear the music. And that means we're going to take calls. We got about, I think, 3 people hanging on. We got a lady from London that she's calling before. It's Heather. It's that bright little star in London that got the whole country listening to me. And the London gets in first. Okay, be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters.
You feel better now?
I do.
1-800-866-8883.
Wow, I got a lot out of what you said to that lady. I have an anger problem, and I've had it for a long time.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, here I am again. 800-866-8883. We've got three people waiting. One from London, and she's a delightful creature. She spends a lot of money just hanging on the phone and waiting for her turn. But let me take... I've had an understanding that Heather can wait for just a minute. We're going to take a new caller from New York. Nevada. It's my glasses again. Okay. Is it John? Hello, John.
Hello, Roy.
Hello, John. What can I do for you?
You're at the top of your game tonight.
Well, not really, but I've been reading. That's why I'm smarter.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about my parents a little bit.
Okay.
And I like to talk to that lady in London, too, if I could stay on.
Oh, yeah. She's going to come on board in just a few minutes.
That would be fun.
So
she sounds like a real lady.
She is, and she's as smart as a whip. She's been listening to me for years and years, and now she's an individual. She can teach me a thing or two. That's what I hope of all my students, to teach me a thing or two.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Anyway, my parents were, I think they were both neurotic, but I haven't looked up that word, so I don't know what it means, really.
Well, they're not in their own mind, right mind.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought.
That's about, but you can call everybody neurotic because you can start with that. That would just be about right.
But I
nearly everybody's neurotic. Yeah, nearly everybody's neurotic to some degree.
But anyway, my father was the strong one, and my mother was the weak one.
Yeah, but it was a wrong strong.
Yes, and it seems like men like to take a woman who is maybe a level lower than themselves. So they don't have to take a lot of flack from the wife, you know. So they can run the household, and the woman will sort of be quiet and won't cause any trouble.
Well, what she'll do is to appease him for peace, but there is no peace for her. But there's no peace for her because all she does is make him teach him that being mean works.
Anyway, my dad was not supposed to marry my mother. His family did.
Yeah, but this is... I don't need the story. Hold a second. I don't need your story. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't need your story. I just need to say, what's wrong with me? Are you asking me... You need to talk to me about what's wrong with you, and then I'll talk to you about your parents.
I have so many things wrong with me. It's hard for me
to... No, you don't. No, you don't. You only have one thing wrong with you upon which all the others stand. Only one thing wrong with you. You're disconnected from God. And by default, you have another identity that comes through the generations. By default. And there's a not you in there. And you're fused with it to think that its thinking is yours. And it's...
I'm trying to separate.
No, you can't say... You don't have the power to separate it or just not even to see it, because the light of truth has to shine on it. So it that's what will separate you from it. Until the light of truth, whatever the heaven that is, it's got to shine through you from the inside. You have to approach the door. The seek and you shall find it, and the door shall be opened. See,
the key.
You need the key to that door. The key to, not the key to the door, but the key to finding the door, because it will open by itself as welcome. And the light, so the what you're looking for is the inner path. And it is sacred. And as many times as I can tell a person, and millions of people listen, only a few people, a small percentage, can grasp it, and the rest will never. Narrow is the way.
Right now,
yeah.
Right now, my problem, Roy, do you want to hear my problem right now?
No, your problem is emotion. Let's start with your anger buried. Buried anger. And judgment. In other words, do you know what judgment is?
Yes.
Accusation. Yeah, in other words.
Accusation.
Yeah, but what about judgment, that secret judgment? How does that work?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because that's your mother. That's a woman thing in a man. But that's not a woman thing. That's the dark part. That's what got into the woman, that got into all of men. And that's what needs to be dealt with. That nature inside you is a woman nature. That's called judgment. And all the women have it. And that judgment is, that judgment should be discernment. And the difference between discernment and judgment is that you know that your mother did wrong. Let's say that in your search for maturity and in your finding that maturity, you have the light of truth has shown you that you have given a gift of discernment, and what it has transformed by in your immaturity and in your weakness as a child, not being able to help yourself, of course. So it's not your fault that you have this in you, but you came into the world with ability. Yeah, so you came into the world with a discerning mind. And it's to be able to see good from evil, but not to judge people who may not be good. And in other words, not to judge a person who looks good and say, what a nice person he is because he likes me. And then a person who looks like he's doing something wrong, which he is, but you do not understand the story of that, so he can't help himself. So you look at that person and you judge him, and you secretly judge him and sort of puff up over him secretly as his superior self. Judgment makes you feel like a king on a throne, but it causes deterioration in you. It feeds the dark side of you. And also, when you think people love you and you fall for that, because you become a beneficent king. You become a beneficent one with loves people who love them. Jesus says, "To love those who love you, what profit is there in that? Don't thieves and robbers love thieves and robbers?" So what you need to do is to have that part of you that judges. Sterilized. So it means sterilized, cleansed, so that it becomes a discerning of something not right with the person, and a discerning what looks like a good person you don't know, but you just make a judgment, and you wait and see, and that will save you. That non-judgment, that ability to discern, is your gift. But the minute you start to judge, bingo, the light goes out. And you take on the nature of the person you hate or you love. And the person that loves you is no good.
I feel like I've been born again. I feel like a new man.
Well, just now?
No, meditation. I've been meditating for 5 years now.
Well, but the point is, where's all the problems?
It really helped me a lot.
But you just told me you got all these problems. And there's only one.
Coming to the surface. I didn't know I had them until.
Yes, of course.
Then they surface. They rise to the surface.
But there's lots more to come, and I got to let you go. As long as you're on the track, I don't need to talk with you. Just keep going. It was nice talking with you. I'll take my lady friend from Heather from England, from London. That's my old running grounds, cruising grounds. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Roy.
Well, you could just sound like you're next door.
the wonders of modern technology.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's even more wonderful that we can speak together about deep things.
I'm afraid Americans are afraid of it. And I'm afraid if I go to England, I'd find the same thing these days.
Sadly, I believe that's true.
Let me show you how bad it is. I have 150 stations. Okay? And
yes.
And so it's 54 years later from when I started, when I had one station, then two, and I paid $35 for the hour because the management is only a little station, and he says, can you do a talk show? I said, what's that? He says, just talk to people. So I did. And so it became a wonderful thing. And then I sold out the station because he moved me until the whole station was a whole second. I will talk to you with this music because this is my commercial anyway. And you make the commercial, make the music softer. Can you do it? I'll keep talking. Okay, that's nice. Thank you. So then I had another station. It was only 250 watts, which is not very much. But I could fill the Shrine Auditorium. I could sit in my office, and the lines would be 10 deep. And every one of them, every one of those calls in old America were beautiful people calling in with problems. And I could sit and talk to any one of them for hours and hours, but it didn't take much to help every one of them. I didn't have to screen my calls, and had never had any bad calls. Even though I created a little delay machine, but two recordings to each other, so one would record and one would go send the tape to the other machine, and I could always cut it out, but I never needed to do it. These people were beautiful, and so I could fill the Shrine Auditorium, and it's a very big place, 6,000 people. And now, fast forward, America today, 150 stations. I can hardly get a call. They're listening, but they're afraid to speak. All suppressed.
Well, it gives me space to talk to you.
Yeah, it does.
And if nothing else.
Yes, but I do have some call. I have some callers waiting. I have a point. I don't want to sit over the garden fence. If you've got something good to share, I'd love to hear it.
You asked John to start with your problem, with
yes.
The problem, and I know the thing that I'm looking at the moment, what I think I'm starting to realize is food. And the connecting link between food and judgment.
And sin.
And sin.
That's it. Yes, that's what it is.
And hating mother.
Yes.
Linking back to what you were speaking about in the first hour about childhood trauma.
Yes.
And if you could say, I mean, I can say something about my childhood experience.
No, not really necessary. I can make a comment if you like.
Please do.
I used to be a professional hypnotist. Do you know that, don't you?
Yes.
And there's nobody possibly on earth that knows more about this than I do. And I write about it in 20 books. See, so there's nothing that I don't know about this stuff. And also, I know how to undo it, which is sin. See, so whatever is stress is sin. And so stress is temptation. And the person who reacts to temptation, who reacts to the stress, which is temptation, becomes the sinner. And so all of sin are slaves who react to the pressure of temptation. And so that's the root of every problem on earth. It passes from generation to generation. But what's connected to that is food. What the original sin was, And Adam doubted God. Eve ate the fruit. And this is, you have to look at the simplicity of it, because if you look at a child today, if I just fast forward just a second, little prompting in a child sees a dollar bill on dad's night table, and something says to him, "Now you can buy that airplane that, you know, that dad won't let you have. He won't miss that dollar or that nickel, whatever it is." And there's an impulse and a heartbeat, and then the impulse is to take the money, and the father comes in and says, "Did you take that?" He knows very well he did. And the little boy feels terrible pain to feel that prompting. You would think it's a small thing. The father won't know how to deal with it. He'd either let the kid go and make him a thief for life, or make him to force him to be outspoken and be honest. But the forced one is not good, or chastise him too much and make him rebel and become a thief. Something like that. And so the thing is, but that voice in a small child is the same voice that talks to Eve. And so it's only a penny, it's only a dollar, it's only a nickel, it's only a piece of fruit, but it separates you from God. See, it separates you from your father. And if you never find out about it, your father didn't know, you'll be a thief for the rest of your life if he lets you get away with it. If you get away with it, because that prompting separates you. But if you can catch that for a moment, if you can say to yourself, if you're mature enough, and you say to your father, "Yes, Father, I took that money," and you overcome the pain and you're willing to take the punishment, whatever that is maturity. That is magic. That is everything. So as you start to give up anger and frustration and all that kind of thing, and your mind begins to clear, you begin to see all the mistakes and all the sins you committed by that prompting. That prompting is always there. And every time you try to overcome the prompting, which makes you want to do something wrong, and you struggle with it, but struggling with it don't cure you. Because you can't resist the prompting, because the prompting is coming down to the generations to make you a slave. All who sin are slaves. So basically, sin translates from generation to generation, and food is connected to it. The fruit is a post-hypnotic suggestion that comes with being a woman. Food. See that food. And she seduces her family with it and tries to please her husband with it. And then men may have trouble with food being pushed, on them, or my mother punishes them then, and makes food to make them happy, and gives them candies and make them feel better for the wrong she did, so that the children will like her, that sort of thing. Food is deeply connected to sin, and so it's not unusual for a person to become addicted to food, because food, if you have enough of it, maybe if you don't have enough of it, there are other things. But when food becomes plentiful and it's available to you, the tendency is to feel a sense of worth. It's almost like food has become a drug, and the cook, the chef, is the drug pusher. You see that?
Yes.
I see. So
even, but as you said before, Roy, even trying to eat the right food, the so-called right food.
Oh, you can't. That's right. You can't cure sin with the right food. You can't. There's no such thing as right food, especially if you think that you eat the right food, it will save you from sin. That is ridiculous.
Maybe I'm trying too hard to grasp this. Because it seems this seems to me where it's at for us, maybe for us ladies.
Yeah, but just for everyone, especially if you become if a man becomes a woman, he'll have food problems.
Yes. The spirit, the prompting, the temptation that's behind the food.
That's right. That's where the original sin is. It carries, so whatever sin is, it connects to food.
So, and the pathway between the pathway through this is to get quiet and still and realize these things.
Well, the sin is not directly food to you right away. The sin is hurt, the harm to your soul, and so that harm to your soul, so you resent your mom. And
yes.
Or you love her too much. She loves you too much, and rises to the occasion to soothe you. Say there, you got a bad daddy. Mommy loves you. And meanwhile, she's the one that caused him to be an animal, because she's servicing and appeasing him so much. And see, so you don't see the game. The child does not see the game. But so therefore, the father's mean, and mother looks like she's the victim, but she's part of the problem. And sets the, and she unconsciously sets up the father to fail to look bad, because that way you get the devil gets rid of the father, and the dark side of the woman now nurtures the woman, the children, and they are broken from that, and they will have problems with food, and if they're not going to have problems with food, they're going to run away from food with drink and drugs. See that? Because they're afraid of the food. Basically, you see that the drug addict will just starve themselves to death and eat all the wrong kinds of things, and eating all the forbidden stuff.
Yes.
Everything that's forbidden.
And children will put things in their mouths that are not food.
That's right.
You
got it.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
But all that goes away. So when you meditate and you take... You, whatever's gone on in your life, it's rooted in your anger and resentment towards your parents, and so that's why the Bible says honor your mother and father. It doesn't matter. You have to understand, no matter how evil your mother is, how evil your father is, they weren't born that way. They were made that way, and they couldn't stop being what they were. They couldn't.
I'll just say this very, very briefly, Roy. My mother was the classic, I am not going to do to my daughter what my...
There you go. That's it. That's exactly what I've been talking about.
Classic.
Yes.
And I know that I was spoiled. I was thoroughly spoiled. And the way I would say it now, that I could not articulate it then, I hated my mother for the way in which she loved me.
There you go.
Or thought she loved me.
That's right. She seduced you like she just seduced you from anybody. She seduced you for love. She couldn't get the love from her husband. She got it from you.
She robbed me of confidence. As I said in a previous call, she worried about me. She taught me to be frightened of everything.
But you're okay now.
Keep me near her.
That's right, and that makes you a slave of her. In other words, she's feeding on your downfall. That's what evil does.
Mm.
And that's what's happening to America. Exactly what's happening. The people in power are feeding on our downfall that's called communism.
Yeah.
That is dark. There is shades of everything. It's dictatorial. Tyranny.
Macrocosm. The microcosm.
That's right.
Back again.
Look, I gotta go. Unless you want to hold on, we got other callers. You can just listen in and jump in. We'll leave you on hold. Okay.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You've had your Nicholsworth, and I've enjoyed you. Thank you. You give me the opportunity to say things I might not have otherwise said. All right. So we need to put some commercials in here, my dear friend Jose. Okay.
Roy Masters is going to have an amazing 4th of July seminar at Tall Timber Ranch in beautiful Southern Oregon. And right now, it is absolutely gorgeous with five lakes, a giant gazebo. You have to experience Roy Masters' 4th of July liberation seminar. Liberation from anger, from fear, from guilt, from disease. Your personal Independence Day. You can call 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday Pacific time. Reserve your place at Tall Timber Ranch, 4th of July weekend. The last time they filled up, they were beyond capacity. And if you're ready to have that personal liberation, that personal Independence Day, this is the time to do it. Call 800-877-3227. That's 800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday Pacific time. Make your reservations while you can.
Stress problems can be cured only by overcoming fear and anger, and never by chemistry. So if you suspect that emotions are behind all your suffering, then my Cure Stress device can really help you. Otherwise, see your doctor. Understand the sheer simplicity of emotion-based problems. You simply cannot overreact to worldly pressures and simultaneously bring forth what is right in your heart without conflict. You cannot serve two masters. This effortless discipline restores your soul to the fount of lost innocence, which, by empowering emotional regulation, reduces the clutter in your mind while advancing your critical thinking skills. With such peace of mind, your addictions just melt away. Cure Stress for Family and Professionals comes in a rechargeable credit card size audio device that fits in your wallet. Go to curestressdevice.com. That's curestressdevice.com or call 855-CURE-STRESS. That's 855-CURE-STRESS.
Also available for download. Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding depend upon your donations to keep this program on the air. What is a donation? Well, to you, it could be a tank full of gas. To a person in need, it could be a Cure Stress device and How Your Mind Can Keep You Well book. What is a donation to you? It could be a meal out. To someone in need, it could be Roy Masters' insight about an incurable condition that doctors don't understand. What's a donation? To you, it could be a bottle of wine or a bag of chips every week. But Roy Masters would use that money to help someone in prison and change their life for good. So when you think my donations don't count, you're wrong. Your donations do count. And without you, this program cannot continue to be heard on the air. So please, make a tax-deductible donation. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, or go to FHU.com right now and make your tax-deductible contribution.
Well, I'm going to spend a minute just setting you up to make this call. We've had a good program. It was a little quiet in the beginning of the broadcast, the first hour. And that's not good for me. I spend a lot of time and energy reaching into your home, and then you clam up. And it's not that there's no one listening. There is people listening, but there's a fear to be recognized. There's a fear for some reason or another, especially of the situation we're living in. But this is only about your problems, and I'm not going to bring your dirty laundry up. I'm just going to show you. You're just going to tell me about little things, the little principles, that once you understand them, the problems start to go away. And all you need is call me, 800-866-8883.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I have a lady on the line. Her name is Sissy. I've never heard of Sissy before. Hello, Sissy. What can I do for you?
Hi. I've been wanting to ask you this question for a long time, actually ever since the problem surfaced. I don't know if it's a problem or not.
Oh, yes. It looks like it is on my screen. It is a problem.
Okay, I don't know exactly what it's coming from, and I prayed about it before I called, and that was like a week ago, and I called one day, and I guess it was a day that I either called too late or I got the times mixed up.
Yes.
But I wanted to get your insight so I could react to it in the right way.
I like that. Well, what you're saying, I see on the screen that your son likes to hug other men.
Yes.
But does he? Where's his father?
His father, through his drug use, we lost our home. So I'm actually living with my parents right now.
Okay, fair enough. But there is a need for the father.
Right.
There's something about masculinity. You know, there's something about women, as far as I'm concerned, as I can remember way, way back, there's a sort of an energy field around a woman. Makes your heart beat, you know, in the beginning. And you can feel the aura, the energy, but it's sweet, pulling you in. And you're a woman, you wouldn't know that, but for a man. But then there's something about a man who's drawn into that, see, which is a weak man. But there is a certain quality of masculinity that is very rare, but only a Jesus would have it. We need to be like him in the matter. We need to get what is in him in us, and men have to have that to be a real father, because what happened is your husband, I don't think he was as bad as he was, even bad at all when he first met you, but slowly but surely he began to deteriorate, and you didn't realize what part you were playing with that. You were trying to be the best. I can hear you're a good woman. You're trying to be the best woman you can be, but all you did was, in your loving him, in nurturing the worst in him. And so you begin to resent that. But the resentment made you feel guilty, and you tried harder to love him. That's the kind of scenario that goes on inside. And so, but the trouble is, when you love a man too much, when it keeps pulling you, you keep pulling him in again, giving him the love and rising to the occasion of his need like a dope pusher with a dope addict. And so every man is a dope addict, and he's a dope, and he's the addict, and you're rising to the occasion to this dope. And that's basically what it is. So therefore, the more you love him, the worse he becomes, the more hungry he is. Because you can't fulfill him as a woman. All you can do is drive him crazy. Drive him crazy for love that doesn't only makes him worse and makes him hungry for it more. And so he doesn't know what to do. He goes blow his brains out. He goes get drunk. Anything to kill the pain of his conscience. Now that's what it's the trouble with all men. And of course, then you can have a woman's side of that where she's all, you don't sound like you're all broken up about it. You seem very, very mature lady. So I'm seeing, look, you're holding up pretty well, being mother and father and not having, you know, any money and doing the best you can with living with your parents. I get it. But when I was looking at the screen, it could look like homosexuality, but just by giving me the background it did, the chances are he wants the scent. He wants the scent of a man. Children, little girls, also need it. And so the scent of a man is sort of a sense of strength and no need. A sense of strength in the man is an aura. It's an aura that, unlike a woman, it's like a woman, but in a sense it's a different kind of opposing aura. It resists the temptation. It resists the child clinging, but puts real love in the child by so being that way. It's very mysterious. So what he's looking for, and he may not find it, but he's looking for it, that scent. And that's the only way I can word it. It's a scent. It's counter woman. It's the opposite scent. It's a strength and a beauty and something that you want to love, but it's not the person, it's what's in the person. And you're not afraid, because it was the person, it would be dangerous. And so, do you see what I'm trying to say?
I do.
So, I don't think I'd worry about that for the time being. He is looking for the scent.
I dissuade him, like I'm not mean, but I dissuade him from doing that because...
I know that. Yes, you just said, look, son, you're looking for your dad, I understand that. But there's a dad inside you. Tell him there's a dad inside you. He said, "What do you mean, Mom?" And then you try your best to make it, and it'll come out. The words will come out. You'll see.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. I'm Roy Masters. These calls make big difference to me sitting here pontificating. Thank you. Oh, it's my break. Okay. Well, I think I've... can you just put two commercials on there? Just two? And because I do need to make commercials for people to know they need to send money kind of stuff, you know. And then we have the seminar coming up. So two of those commercials, thank you. I want to tell my audience, you want to come on the air with me, Jose?
Sure.
Are you there? I just want to tell everybody how much I appreciate you, Jose. You're behind the scenes.
Ah, thank you.
And I've known you since you was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah.
Is that right? How long have I known you?
Years. I remember meeting you for the first time in Los Angeles.
And you were just a little whippersnapper, weren't you?
Yeah. It's not coming out of my nose. I was a little kid.
I love your whole family.
Oh, we love you too.
So I just wanted to just you. So when you hear everybody hears me talking to myself, I'm really talking to Jose. All right, now let's go to another. Are we close to the time where I can go to the other call now? Okay, so let's take. How do you pronounce that name, Leanne? Because I can't read. I get my new glasses tomorrow. This is the third month it was wrong. I got the optometrist to come to my seminar, and he felt better, and I think he's fixed it this time. I think I was overwhelming him. he's a veteran, and he's had this post-traumatic stress thing, and so I helped him. And I think he put me to the test to see if I was where I was coming from, because he never did it right. He never got it right. I think this time he did it. I think he wanted to test me to see if I was really patient or impatient the way I was talking about. And anyway, all's well that ends well. I'm going to take our next call. Is it Leanne?
Yes, it is.
How you pronounce it?
Leanne.
Oh, Leanne. Okay. Good. Thank you, Leanne.
Roy, I have an issue with awareness.
Uh-huh.
I've talked to you many times, and it just seems that there always seems to be something in the way that I'm just so stuck, and especially when I have to make a decision about something, that all of a sudden my head is so foggy, and it's like there's something in the way of me being aware.
Yes.
And
yes.
Even, you know, I was just listening to your calls right now, and it's like my...
the trouble is you've always done that all your life. You listen. You try to get an answer from your intellect. And so you go one side of your brain, you say, maybe I'll try this. And then you go to the other side, and the other side says, no, but then that's no good because of that. And the other, you go backwards and forward. Let me tell you how I think. Would you like to know how I am in grave situation right now. And I have to make a decision. So when I have to make a decision, and I do not know what the decision is, I sit there and wait till I do. I'm very patient. It means I'm not to know yet. I'm okay with it. And if something puts the pressure on me, I do not respond to that pressure because I know I'll do wrong. That will be someone pinning a suggestion, putting a suggestion into me, which would not be good for me. So I know when I don't know. And I know that there's something in me that is a sort of super intellectual. There's something in me that knows what's good for me, and I cannot know it until the moment I do know it. It sounds very strange, but that's the way it is. And as long as I trust that I will know, and I don't know what it will be, but if I wait and put aside all that wavering that you're talking about, the voice that keeps talking to you, talking to yourself, and asking yourself, you're talking to your monkey brain, and your monkey brain will talk back, and it will just be a mess. You have to learn to know that you don't know. And when you understand you don't know, you're given to confidence. You're given confidence. It's not that you're dumb. You really don't know. You're just waiting for marching orders. That's where I put it. And so when you meditate, when you are pure. As you become, that's how you become pure. You know that you don't know, but you know you will know, and you're waiting for the order to knowing it. And
Roy?
Yes, yes.
This is Heather.
Hello, Heather.
Has patched me in. Can I speak to Leanne, please, if she would like?
Would you like to listen to Heather?
Sure, that would be great.
Yeah, that's very nice. She's all the way from London, England. Go ahead, Heather.
Hi, Leanne.
Yeah. Hi, Heather.
Nice to talk to you.
Conversation earlier.
You were talking about, I didn't catch the first part of what you said, but you were talking about awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Over here in good old London, I'm sitting in front of my desk, and I've got a little card here that I've written something on that Roy said some time ago. I can't remember when he said it or where it was from. It might have been from an old tape. But it goes like this. You cannot do anything wrong when you are conscious. And when you were speaking about awareness, I picked up my little card, and I think that really is a really good summing up of what Roy is, well, teaching, sharing with us. Using the meditation, becoming more, I don't know if you are using the meditation, but this becoming more conscious, more aware. And
it sounded like a contradiction just now. It sounded like a contradiction. You said, the way you said it, what I'm trying to, let me see if I can, this is not an easy thing, this is a metaphysical thing.
Okay,
and you have to give up being consciously looking for an answer. You have to know, you're given to know, that of yourself you can do nothing. Jesus says, why call me good? There's none good but God. See, so it's not me that does this thing, but the Father within me, he doth it. So he knew how to be a vessel. And so to put the consciousness of struggling with ideas aside and wait. And just be patient and not frustrated, just knowing that it will come, and it always does. And when nothing is to be done, that is the thing. The pressure will pass, and you're glad you didn't react. And that is the thing to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, see how simple that is. See, that's not easy for you to grasp in your mortal frame, in your messed up emotional state. Because in your messed up emotional state, you have layers and layers of thoughts and feelings. In other words, emotions disconnect you from what I just said. The natural way of knowing without knowing why you know, but always trusting it and waiting for it. And you're free. You should know the truth. It will set you free from trying to figure it out for yourself. It's just, sir, anything you say, sir, yes, sir. It's an attitude like that, but it's peace. You know you cannot know for yourself. You are being waiting for guidance to walk in that light. And it's sufficient for the moment that you're happy, calm, and you've got a big situation in front of you, and you don't know what to do about it. It's just not knowing and not struggling to find an answer to whoever it is that's being mean to you or forcing you to do something. You just look at them, and they feel this energy field. The negative, the adversary, the bully, the seductress, whoever it is, senses this. Because they are conniving, they are using the intellect to, but you don't have, nobody can read my thoughts. You know why? Because I can't read them. All I have is in my thought is appreciation for butterflies and, looking at the sky at night and appreciating my children and just knowing it's good to be alive and what do you want next? I'm at peace all the time. See, and even and everything could rage all around me. My wife can get upset, and the family can squabble. I'm there as just a presence, and it seems to make everything go away. And they love me for it. See, and they're learning the same thing with their own children. So, I don't know how to explain it. Because the energy that gives me this is an energy field. And so, and it's been displaced by an emotional state. And that emotional state is temptation. And temptation fills your mind with intellectual thoughts. It rearranges your thinking the way it wants. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. Trying to stop it only makes it worse. You're a slave of it. And you have to be rescued from that in a meditative state.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
The program number is 77, the first hour is 7793, and this hour is 7794 if you want a copy of it, but you can always hear this program. You don't have to buy it if you don't want to. Just send a donation. I appreciate it. All right. So, how do you pronounce his name again? Leanne. Okay, because my glasses don't reach that far. My memory is that great. Leanne, you need to meditate. You, in your mortal frame, you are stuck with the pressures of life that act through you by your reacting. And you cannot help but reacting because you're a slave of reacting. Your whole nature is made up of layers of reacting and developing an identity that isn't yours and in conflict with your human. And so meditation will change this. It will lead you. Look, close your eyes. You want to do a little experiment, Leanne?
Sure.
Would you mind closing your eyes for a minute?
Okay.
And put the phone in your left hand.
Okay.
And listen. And all I want you to do is one thing, very simple, and no effort. All I want you to do is look at your eyelids. That's a very strange, very strange request. But can you do that?
Yes.
And what do you see when you look at your eyelids?
I see moving light, actually.
That, you know what that is? Listen carefully. This may surprise you, the simplicity of it. This is stage one, and there's only one more stage than this. That's all. That's stage one. You've just stepped away from your thoughts. And your thoughts, you've left them behind. And the soul, your consciousness, is now conscious, and you're sitting in a retreat from the world of thinking. It is a refuge. I call it a refuge. It means you can't see your thinking. You can hear my voice, or you can see these little lights moving across the screen of the mind. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But you can't see your thoughts. You've moved back from the thoughts, and now you are not the thinking. You're the thinker. If you want to think, you've got to open your eyes, and you can think again. But when you open your eyes, you'll have a clearer view. You'll be looking at your thoughts like you're another person looking at your thoughts. You're no longer the thinking, you're the thinker. You're in charge of those thinking. But don't do that just yet. I'm going to ask you another question. How is it that you are sitting there in that refuge, free from your mortal coils, your feelings, your thinking? It's because you love God. And only because you love God, you can stand back like that, and your soul becomes clear, because your mind wasn't clear when it was lost in the thoughts. The minute you step back, you left the thinking behind, and what you've got is a clear mind. And in this clear mind is a lens, and God shines a light through that lens and puts those little pixels on front of you, which are programmed for your mind and your body refreshing and starting to
move into your mind so that this new energy that you feel, it'll be feeling like a tingling feeling if you continue it on just a little longer. I haven't got time to do this with you. But the meditation will show you that simple thing will cause the refreshing of your mind from within, and it will feed all of the cells in your body with a different kind of energy, and that radiates and keeps people from getting inside you. Bingo. Open your eyes. When you look up, when you open your eyes, everything will look a little brighter. Let me see if that's correct.
Yeah, it's clear.
Is that now? There it is. You see?
Yeah.
Now, do you think your preachers or your psychologists will tell you this? They don't know it themselves. It's too simple. Mm-hmm. It's so simple you could all be free from medicine, drugs, everything, because we're all addicted to these things. And in other words, we would never stop to be able to find who we were. We're too busy looking for answers everywhere in the world. It's not in the world. It's within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. See that? Now you start meditating. Will you start meditating now?
That's where I need to be more.
Yes. Listen, you can do this. Do you have my meditation?
Yeah, I've been meditating for a while, and I just, every once in a while, I get really stuck.
Don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. It's just a phase. Don't lose heart.
Okay.
Just appreciate the way. So when you see your problem, learn not to fight it. Just watch it. I'm glad to see it. And don't make any attempt to fix it. Just be glad to see it, because the average person does the opposite. They hate to see it.
Yeah.
See? And there's a completely different viewpoint. And just because you love to see it, God loves you. That's all He wants, is to love to see it. And then the problem goes away by itself. It's that simple. How old are you?
I'm 42.
You sound much younger.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for many years. I'm hoping to come to your seminar.
I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much for being on the air.
Thank you for coming. I'm in great need for people calling. Thank you so much. Well, we're end of the program. Thank you, Heather from London. God bless you. Call me again. Ladies and gentlemen, support my program, please. With your donations, please. It will help so much. I want to do this to the end of my days, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Roy Masters is going to have an amazing 4th of July seminar at Tall Timber Ranch in beautiful Southern Oregon. And right now, it is absolutely gorgeous, with five lakes, a giant gazebo. You have to experience Roy Masters' 4th of July Liberation Seminar. Liberation from anger, from fear, from guilt, from disease. Your personal Independence Day. You can call 800-877-3227, 800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday Pacific Time. Reserve your place at Tall Timber Ranch, 4th of July weekend. The last time they filled up, they were beyond capacity. And if you're ready to have that personal liberation, that personal Independence Day, this is the time to do it. Call 800-877-3227. That's 800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday Pacific Time. Make your reservations while you can.
Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding depend upon your donations to keep this program on the air. What is a donation? Well, to you, it could be a tank full of gas. To a person in need, it could be a cure stress device and How Your Mind Can Keep You Well book. What is a donation to you? It could be a meal out. To someone in need, it could be Roy Masters' insight about an incurable condition that doctors don't understand. What's a donation? To you, it could be a bottle of wine or a bag of chips every week. But Roy Masters would use that money to help someone in prison and change their life for good. So when you think my donations don't count, you're wrong. Your donations do count. And without you, this program cannot continue to be heard on the air. So please, make a tax-deductible donation. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528, or go to FHU.com right now and make